Dick Van Dyke used to say he got paid to play. Early on, the comedian turned his tall, lanky presence and a certain clumsiness into physical humor.
One of his best-known bits was tripping over an ottoman in the opening to his classic TV show as he greeted his TV wife, played by Mary Tyler Moore. The live audience howled every time. Now 85, Dick Van Dyke looks back on his lifetime of antics and some periods of struggle in a new memoir. As he tells it, he kind of stumbled into show business as well, which accounts for the title, My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business.
Well, I had come back from the Air Force and got a job as an announcer. And a friend came and said, you want to go out to California, do an act. Well, I was totally footloose. And I just said, what time you pick me up? And we drove out here and started doing a little act. Just as a lark, we never intended, you know, to have a life in show business. We were going to go back and go to school and do something serious. But one thing led to another. Television came along. Things just came out of the woodwork. It was amazing.
Let's jump ahead to 1959. You're in a hit Broadway show, Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
And then Carl Reiner, as you describe him, comedic genius, offers you a TV role that it really changes your life.
Oh, absolutely.
And the show that Carl Reiner was coming up with was called
Head of the Family,
which, of course, nobody listening will recognize. But Head of the Family would soon be known as the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yes.
And it would be centered on a show business office and the home of Rob Petrie. Who was playing Rob Petrie in the original?
Carl Reiner. Carl had written it for himself. I saw the pilot. He was wrong for it. And he admits that. Carl was played a very nervous, anxiety-ridden father. You know, Rob wasn't that kind of a guy. So we did the pilot, and Carl kind of adapted it to me. He just wrote me the way I am, and was, as he did for the whole cast, and it was just falling off a log. And most of the time, he would find something that happened to one of us and turn it into a script. So they all had a kind of a basis in reality, which I think helped.
We have a clip from one of those episodes. It's the cat burglar episode.
The cat, oh, yeah, which really happened. One night, my wife and I were awakened by what sounded like someone breaking in.
Rob! Somebody's trying to get into our house!
Shh, shh. Anybody's trying to get in. I think somebody's trying to get out.
So I got up and I had a 25 automatic gun that I had kept in a drawer just for those occasions, but it had no ammunition in it. And I said to my wife,
where's the bullet?
It's in my jewelry box.
Which had a little ballerina on top. And when you opened it, it played the Danube Waltz. So I was trying to get the bullets out and at the same time kill the Danube Waltz. And
so you mean every time?
I would open it and grab one bullet and then close it, open it and grab another bullet. Turned out there was no one in the house whatsoever. But I told Carl about it and he wrote the script.
A key feature of the Dick Van Dyke Show was the chemistry between you and Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
You're right that people constantly thought you were actually married.
That's true. If I tried to check in a hotel with my real wife, they...
Wait a minute.
Caused me a few problems. Around the second season, we would try to rehearse and begin to giggle and laugh at for no reason. And a psychiatrist said, you have a crush on each other. And she... I realized that's true. We both had a little crush on one another.
It almost feels that you were indeed a little bit in love with her.
Probably. I would say so. We both had this kind of a mutual attraction. In a lot of movies and series that they play that out all the way. But Mary is a very decent young lady, and I wasn't of the type.
Throughout this memoir, these show business legends pop up, little cameos. You don't always even meet them. Lucille Ball in the audience and others. And Frank Sinatra, Cary Grant wandered into your dressing room, scrutinized your wardrobe. But ultimately, you got a call from your hero, a man you mimicked as a kid, really,
yeah.
Stan Laurel.
I called him. He had seen me on television and knew who I was. I was just overjoyed because I had... Well, I said to him on the phone, you know, I've copied a good deal from you over the years. And he said, yes, I know. But he invited me to his home on that Sunday. And I would make regular little visits up there and talk to him. And, of course, just grill him about how he came up with this funny idea and that funny idea. Quite a gentleman.
You tell a funny story in the book how you had invited Stan Laurel for an episode of Dick Van Dyke. And you call, and he couldn't make it to the show, but you watched. You called after to find out what he thought. He did say something. He said, it was the best impersonation I've ever seen,
yes.
Son, to you. That's nice. And then he said, just one more thing.
Well, the brim of the hat was flat, and I had literally taken an iron and tried to flatten out the brim of the hat I had, and it wouldn't do it. But he did comment on that. Oddly enough, after he died, I did the eulogy at his funeral, and he had left me the hat, which had vanished, and it hadn't been seen to this day. I thought I was going to get that hat. I have his bow tie.
Well, that's wonderful. Where do you keep it?
Oh, I have it in a box, and I have a tailor-made pool cue that Buster Keaton left me. So I also used to visit him, too, all my idols.
Dick Van Dyke, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dick Van Dyke's memoir is called My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business. And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.